listening to Full Power Living with Eileen Dillon.
Hi. You know, for years I've inspired parents with the story of how my 3-week-old son helped me teach my class on anger. He cooperated with me by sleeping as much as 5 hours, which is an unheard of length of time for a child that young. When you communicate with a child's soul, the child proves capable of amazing things. But that story, it turns out, was child's play. Children still in the womb can give tips on how to improve their own birth experience. They can dictate courses and books and engage in philosophical discussions. Don't believe me? Then listen to our show today as I talk with Sonia Rechnitzer, who, less than 2 weeks ago, gave pain-free birth to her second child. Welcome to Full Power Living, the only show on international media dedicated to the exploration and understanding of emotions and their role in human life. I'm Eileen Dillon, your show creator and host. We invite you to interact with us on our chats, and also you can call in toll-free at 888-498-0570, and that number is listed on the chat, both on Blog Talk and on Emotional Pro. Now, Sonia Rechnitzer is a wife, a mother of two. She's the author of Natural Pain-Free Birth, A Soul's Journey to Earth, and she's co-founder of Universal Intelligence Group. She's dedicated to connecting people with their inner genius and with universal intelligence. She shows people how to move past their limiting beliefs that hold them back from achieving greatness in all areas of life. Both with her 4-year-old son and her newborn daughter, Sonia follows profound parenting, which allows them to remain fully connected to their own inner wisdom. She's a presenter and mentor, showing people how to access universal intelligence, use intuition in business, and support kids in accessing their own intuition supported by universal intelligence. You can find her at Accessing UI, that's for universal intelligence, accessingui.com. Sonia Rechnitzer, it's a distinct pleasure to welcome you to Full Power Living.
Thank you, Eileen. How are you?
I'm perfect. Better all the time. I need to tell people that I'm studying with you at this point, UI, and it's really an amazing process, so I'm glad to talk about it today. And I also want to congratulate you on the birth of your daughter and point out that you're fresh from using what we're going to be talking about today, as you just took part in the most profound mental, physical, emotional, and spiritual event we humans experience. Tell us something about this pain-free childbirth process. You just experienced it. How long ago?
It was just 2 weeks ago today, Eileen. It's it's absolutely profound. And it's interesting, actually, because I guess this time around, I a little bit took it for granted, as I had done it before 4 years ago with my firstborn son, Ollie. And that was really an incredible experience, because I guess I was pioneering it as such. I was believing in myself. I had seen that it could happen. And I'd done the work mentally and emotionally and spiritually in order to bring that forth. Whereas this time, I already knew that that was more than a possibility. I knew that I could do it. I had done it before. And so I was a little bit blasé going into it, really. So it was quite funny. That was a given. And I was really, this time around, looking forward to enjoying that process without the question mark, without the pressure. Last time I had already written the book, Natural Pain-Free Birth, A Soul's Journey to Earth. I had already written about the vision that I'd had and how the birth was going to happen. And so there was a little bit of pressure there, you know, during the birth of, wow, what if this escalates? What if I don't actually achieve a pain-free birth and all this work will be invalid as such? Of course, that didn't happen. But this time, there was no pressure at all. And it was just, wow, let's just kick back and enjoy this for the bliss that it is and for the incredible journey. And my only... My only wish, I guess, in a way, would have been that it may have been a little bit longer, Eileen. As you know, it was just under an hour, the full process from the first contraction or the first wave through until Millie was completely born. And that didn't leave me a lot of time to actually enjoy it.
Yeah, that's a real loss. Thank you for that description. I do want to mention here also that we have Dakey Fox, who is a life coach and often is a co-host on the program with us. And Dakey, you will be asking some questions as we go along also, and I want to welcome you to the program also.
Oh, thank you so much, Eileen. It's a pleasure to be here.
Right. Well, Sonia, most women that I mentioned this show to groaned. They indicated that they didn't believe it was possible to give birth pain-free. And I wanted to ask you, what are some of the essential ingredients of pain-free birth? What does a person do to actually create this?
That's a great question. And I have come across that. There are many, probably the majority of women that I speak to or present to in seminars, start in complete disbelief that it could be possible. And because most people have had such painful and horrendous experiences themselves that it can be very difficult to believe that a pain-free birth, completely pain-free, completely natural, no drugs, could be possible. In terms of essential ingredients, look, there's definitely the component of preparing the body. So for me, the best way to prepare a body is to ask the body what it needs. There is so much literature out there and available about how to prepare for birth with breathing techniques, with yoga, with various types of exercise, and even during the birth of having the availability of water birth and that kind of thing. To me, every body is completely individual, and it's really important to address it with each individual body, what that body needs in order to birth. And for me, I can say even between the two births, my body wanted completely different things in its preparation. So what we do and what we teach at UI Group and what we encourage people to do is to use their intuition to really tune into their body and talk to their body to see what it needs in order to be able to create that free-flowing birth experience. Pain, I find, is generally, in speaking to women and experiencing it with them, pain is created by two major things. One is fear. It's when the person goes into fear that the body tenses up, and then pain is a result of that. But also in the body not being able to allow that new little being to flow through freely. Which then brings me to my second point, which becomes the mental / emotional and spiritual clearing that will then enable the body to respond to the process in a free-flowing way. Now, the way we do that at UI Group or at Natural Pain-Free Birth is to actually help people to clear the limiting beliefs that they hold at the subconscious level. Now, I know with birthing there are a lot of beliefs that we hold, even consciously. Like we know that we're scared. We know that we expect there to be pain as women in general. But it's actually our subconscious beliefs that dictate what we experience as our reality. So even if we can, through positive affirmations or vision boards, create a positive conscious experience for ourselves, it's very important to make sure that the subconscious level, we're in alignment with that. So we go through a process of clearing the beliefs that we've held in our lifetime about birthing, the beliefs that were passed on by our mothers, by our teachers, but also the general societal belief that birth equals pain. And once that's removed at the subconscious level, you're really clearing a smooth and free-flowing path for the baby to pass through the body, and to allow the body to relax so as not to create pain.
Wow, that's really great. I had two natural births, and especially with the first one, I had this fear that my husband didn't really want the child. And I asked him about it the day before she was born, and he assured me that he did. However, the long and the short of this is that he left by the time she was 10 months old, saying he wasn't ready to be a father. So my intuition was correct, but I didn't believe it. And I, you know, and that got in the way.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, your intuition is always correct. I mean, how many people do we know, and us ourselves as well, when we follow our intuition, it always works out well, or, you know, it works out in our high school. It's whenever we don't follow our intuition that, you know, things maybe aren't as great. And, yeah, so that's probably a huge piece of advice to pass on to women is, you know, when you're pregnant and shortly after giving birth, your women's intuition is absolutely at its peak naturally. So follow any messages that you get, because they're going to be true and correct. And no matter, you know, how scary it may be, for example, for you that, you know, you may be feeling that your husband's not really ready to have a child, to follow the intuitive messages around how to deal with that is still going to be much more in your highest good than to ignore the messages completely, and because that's what will create some kind of pain, whether during the birth process or later on. Or within your child, because your child, you know, is intuitively more connected than any of us that are living right now. So, yeah.
Well, just to say what did actually happen is my cervix dilated to almost completely, and then it stopped and held for an hour. So it actually slowed the baby's process of getting out of my body. That's what it did.
Yeah, that's very, very common. There's so many different resistances that we experience as women where that will happen, where either the dilation won't fully occur, or there's many, many hours of pushing, or in the end, for some women, even a C-section needs to be performed because of the resistances that we have to having a child, whether it be a fear about our support that we're going to have, or just a fear of actually birthing the child, or the fear of who we are going to be as a mother. So those are some really important things to look at prior to birthing, to make sure that we're comfortable with the birth process and the, you know, weeks after the baby's born, to make sure that we know that we feel ready for that, and that we feel ready to be a mother for the next, you know, I mean, I've only been a mother for 4 years, but I'm sure you need to be prepared to be a mother for at least 18 or 50 or for the rest of your life.
It's for the rest of your life, let me tell you.
Yeah, so I hear.
Well, my oldest will turn 43 next month, and I still have her calling me. She's a great support and wonderful person for me as well, but she still calls me, Mom, I had this difficulty today. I need to talk to you. I need support. And I recently visited, and she crawls into bed and says, I need to snuggle like we did when I was little. And it's so precious.
Beautiful, beautiful.
Yeah.
And I'm guessing that the feeling that at your end was exactly the same feeling as when I snuggled with my 4-year-old.
Exactly. It's really wonderful. So if you do it right, or you're lucky, however you want to look at it, it'll go on for a long, long time. Now, when you were pregnant with your first child, Ollie, he actually helped you to develop this. In fact, he co-wrote your book with you, Natural Pain-Free Birth, which is a very unique book in that on the left-hand side of the page is your commentary about your pregnancy process, and on the right side of each page is his commentary. And so, you know, you were actually communicating with your son while he was in utero, and, of course, most of us don't believe this is possible. So I want to ask you the question, how did you know that it was Ollie talking to you and not your own subconscious mind talking to you?
Wow, that's a really good question. I've never been asked that before. look, I guess I had been in communication with Ollie as a soul, as, you know, just a little speck of consciousness since before he was even conceived. I had a message from him months before he was conceived, saying, "Get ready, I'm coming." And that was before I was even ready to have a child. That actually threw both Daniela and I into a bit of a spin of, wow, we didn't know we were going to have children, you know, so we had a lot to deal with for several months before he was even conceived. And so I got quite accustomed to the sound of his voice, if you will. You know, it's people receive messages in very different ways. I'm very auditory, so I hear voices, so to speak, where, you know, they say from that movie, "I see dead people." Well, I don't. I hear voices. some people see visions. Some people just have feelings in their body. I hear the voices of various souls. And yeah, so I had been in communication with him for quite a few months already. So when he was actually, it was actually really when he was conceived, I got to hear him so much more clearly, because then he was inside my own body. And it was amazing, because to experience conception from that perspective was quite incredible, you know, to experience it from the perspective of the soul coming into the body and fertilizing an egg. I was just, that was mind-blowing. It was really, really awesome.
I wish I had known more about accessing UI, because as you're speaking, I'm remembering that probably 2.5 years before I conceived my son, I did have a vision. I was on a hike, and I envisioned that there was a man. I didn't know this man at the time. There was a man walking ahead of me, and he was my husband, and he had our son on his back in a backpack. And so I did know 2 years, 2.5 years before I ever conceived him that I was going to have a child. So I just want to put that in, because I think some people might not believe that it's possible to know. I just didn't know that I was getting an actual message. Had I had the ability to use UI, I might have been able to talk with him even then.
Absolutely. And for women that think they may have had a vision, or maybe, you know, communicating in their imagination, maybe with a little child, with a future child, something like that, then just go with it, because it's, what have you got to lose by exploring that as a possibility? You know, what if it's true? What if you do have that heightened sensitivity? And in continuing that communication and believing in yourself, you'll actually nurture that ability. You raise your vibrational frequency by using that skill. So if you have even just a snippet of something that flows through and you feel like, oh, I just imagined that, well, it's in your imagination that this capability resides. So nurture it and grow it, and you'll be absolutely astounded as to how precisely you can create life and manifest when you use that ability. So yeah, I would, if I'd known you then, I would have encouraged you to follow that trail.
Yeah, definitely. Well, we're up to our first break, and I know, because I have worked with you, that you yourself didn't know how to do a lot of this just a few short years ago. And when we return, I'd like you to tell me how you got in to working with UI, and then we'll go further into profound parenting. All right?
I'd love to. Thank you.
Great. So today we're discussing natural pain-free birth and profound parenting with mother, author, and universal intelligence mentor Sonia Rechnitzer. We're exploring how to keep talking to your child's soul as they grow up through profound parenting. That's part of what we'll be covering later on in the show. You're listening to Full Power Living. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Full Power Living with Eileen Dillon.
As a parent, have you found all the parenting information you've been hearing lately a bit confusing? Are you having trouble sorting out the best response to your defiant child, or feeling hopeless about regaining respect from your teen, or determining whether your actions as a parent are the right ones? Instead of the usual pressures of parenting that you've been experiencing, you can partner with your child, raising incredible kids who are destined to become amazing adults. I'm Eileen Dillon, the Emotional Pro, giving you the opportunity to become the incredible parent for incredible kids. We have the method and the tools. You bring your optimism for learning and the kids. Raise Incredible Kids offers a comprehensive system for raising kids who are responsible, make their own great decisions, and become immune to peer pressure. To get you ready for this new era in parenting, get my free 10-page report, Incredible Communication That Helps You Create Incredible Kids, by visiting RaiseIncredibleKids.com now. That's RaiseIncredibleKids.com. Welcome back to Full Power Living. I have a few announcements. Our upcoming guests are listed at the top of our radio show page at EmotionalPro.com. Next week, I'm talking with David Bedrick, who's author of Talking Back to Dr. Phil, Alternatives to Mainstream Psychology. He's a psychologist who's concerned that current psychology literally shames people into dealing with their difficulties. He wants us to learn to use love-based psychology instead, and I'm certainly for that. So join us for that show and for all the shows on Full Power Living. I also want to thank you for helping us with our mission of transforming our world through the mastery and power of human emotions. And if you miss our live broadcasts, you can listen to archives on Blog Talk Radio or Emotional Pro, and you can also subscribe to Full Power Living on iTunes. We're talking today with Sonia Rechnitzer, who's a marketer turned mentor in universal intelligence, and she's accepted the task of awakening as many people as she can in this world to the presence, power, and availability of universal intelligence. And along with that, Sonia, how about you tell us how you got introduced to the things that you're now talking about and living and sharing with others? What happened? How did you find out about this?
Uh-huh. It's quite a fun story, actually, because I really wasn't planning on it at all. I was in the process. I'd just been referred on to a young man by the name of Daniel Rechnitzer, who I've just given away, who's now my husband. And he was selling his marketing business. He was teaching marketing workshops, had some great content, and I was wanting to purchase his business. And when we met for the first time to discuss, you know, a handover and that kind of thing, I asked him at the end of our meeting, you know, so what are you planning to do next, hoping that he wasn't just going to open another business of the same type around the corner. And he said, oh, I want to get into my energy work. And that was intriguing to me because I had no idea really what that meant, except that I just read the book, The Celestine Prophecy.
Uh-huh.
And so it's a wonderful book. I absolutely loved it and ended up reading the entire series. And so the only understanding I had of energy was, as explained in that book, by, you know, people being able to see the positive or negative energy flows between people and being able to perceive auras of plants and animals and people. So I asked him, I said, so do you mean like you can see auras and see the energy between people? He said, yeah, absolutely. Like, can't everybody? Like, to him, that was absolutely just the norm. I said, well, I can't do that, and I'd love for you to teach me. I was absolutely intrigued, and I really wanted to be able to see the colors that surround people. And so that became part of our training, his training of me of marketing, and then he started training me in how to discover the energy flows between people, how to read the body and talk to the body. And then eventually we started working a bit more together on it because we discovered that there's not just the body that talks to you, that tells you what it needs, but there's also this highly intelligent component that can teach you how to live more fully and manifest with ease, which we later on termed as the higher self or the true self, the inner wisdom. Mm. So yeah, it was from that point onward that we really started to explore together. So Daniel essentially taught me everything he knew in the first 6 months, and then we started exploring together, and we both came to that profound realization that this is something we need to teach people. This is so powerful. We were sneakily using it in business to tune into businesses to see what they needed to grow and to write the marketing strategies without telling people what we were doing, because we didn't want to freak them out. And then we realized, you know, yes, you can make a really good living doing that on a consultancy basis, but this is something that everyone should be able to do. You know, this is such a beautiful way to live, such a powerful way to take responsibility for and create your life, that we then set about figuring out how to teach it to others. And because I knew Daniel had been able to teach me, I said, right, let's work this out so that we can teach the masses, because this is something everyone should know. Everyone should be in touch with their higher wisdom.
Mm-hmm. So I just want, that's a wonderful story. Thank you, Sonia. I want to also talk about what does get in the way of us doing that. We humans come to the earth. We're incredible souls. We're capable of a lot. And then what happens with most of us is we start off in these little bodies that don't work very well and brains that are not fully developed, and we get cared for by people who are already here on the planet. And one of the things that they do is pass their personal beliefs on to us, and we also start to develop beliefs on the basis of the experiences that we have. And as I understand working with universal intelligence, as you do, the message is essentially that all these beliefs that we learn are not really accurate, and they get in our way. And that's part of what we need to learn to do, is identify and let them go. Is that the way you see it?
Yeah, absolutely. And look, I even noticed that as much as, you know, we're very aware, Daniel and I, of not passing our beliefs on to our children, but even a little example of when Ollie was about a year old, he just started speaking, and I was pushing him in a stroller, and he kept pointing ahead saying, dog, dog. And I'm looking, and I said, Ollie, no, there's no dog up there. And then he said, no, dog, dog. And literally seconds later, a dog came trotting around the corner. And I realized that, again, you know, like even someone like myself who knows about this stuff put my own limitations, because I couldn't see around the corner. Physically, I couldn't see around the corner. But Ollie could. Ollie has this precognition that's far beyond what I'm capable of. And therefore, he was able to see something that I couldn't see, and I completely shut it down. So from that point onwards, of course, any time Ollie said something, I said, oh, well, I can't see it yet, but let's just wait and have a look, you know. And that happens from the very first moment, you know. A child is born, and it has far greater capacity and capabilities than its parents. Uh-huh. Which is designed that way so that as the children grow, parents are actually able to let them go when it's time to let them go. So it's completely purposeful. So the parents are obviously, just by very nature, going to limit that child somewhat unless they're really aware to just allow whatever's going to be possible for that child. Just because we can't fly doesn't mean our children can't. Sorry, you go, Eileen.
Oh, well, it's really interesting. Before my son was born, his godmother is a medium. She's psychic. And she said to us, to my son's father and I, that she thought he would have exceptional intelligence. And in fact, he does. And I found that interesting and challenging. And my husband at the time was scared about it. He said, how can I parent a child that's so much smarter than me? And now, you know, this is the same thing. You know, how does a person parent somebody who can see around corners or who's so much smarter and still do a good job?
It is challenging. Yeah, it is very challenging, I have to admit. It's look, the way I cope with it is, obviously, I can tune in. So I can tune in to Ollie and now Millie and see what's going on and see how best to handle situations. But there is constantly situations that the conventional parenting methods just don't work. Ollie, from since he was tiny, has run rings around us in terms of intelligence because he is completely and fully connected still to universal intelligence. So he can literally draw on all the intelligence in the universe at once. So, you know, he's always steps ahead of where we're at in terms of, you know, when he wants something, creating that and manifesting his life the way he needs to. So as a parent then, what is left for me and for Daniel to do is just to tune in to see how do we keep him safe and how do we have him realize how to interact with a world that isn't where he's at. And
yeah. That's
pretty much all we're trying to do is allow him to self-parent, really. So we're encouraging him, if he doesn't really have tantrums because he's not really of that vibration, but if he's unhappy with something, we just encourage him to tune into, we call it Big Ollie, and gain his answers that way, rather than trying to lay down the law or put our foot down or you know, try to bring him in and bring boundaries. We allow him to create his own boundaries, and we've found that to be very successful when we reason with him and allow him to just tune into his universal intelligence and find the answer, that he will actually come up with a solution that works for everybody. So mm-hmm. that's been the way that we've found success with that.
That's this Dickie here, and you know, that really speaks, Sonia, to the profound parenting. Because it's not about object lessons or control, which is pretty much what we know and learn and take for granted in our previous way of being human. But instead, what you're talking about is relational, which begins with the kind of respect, the profound respect that's reflected in what you just said. I just really appreciate that.
Yeah, and you know, it's not easy. This is something that I really want to make clear, you know, people say, wow, that's so amazing the way, you know, the way you parent, and you know, they watch us and they think it's just this most amazing relationship that we have. But it didn't come easily for me either, you know. I needed to do so much clearing around how I thought I would parent. I thought I would be a strict parent, you know, one that keeps their children on the straight and narrow so that they can grow into responsible adults. You know, that's who I thought I was. And I really needed to work on myself. And still sometimes I notice myself reacting and I think, wow, okay, well, this is just me reacting because of how I was parented. And rather than allowing that reaction to actually reach Ollie or soon Millie, there's nothing to react to yet with her. She's still so tiny. But before I allow that reaction to bubble to the surface, I notice the reaction and I just take a few seconds to just remove that, we call it ego or the outer self, you know, that inner saboteur that will have us just repeat all patterns. Just remove that out of my psyche and take a deep breath and go, okay, what would the universal intelligence me do with this? And then a better answer is always found. But that doesn't mean that there's perfection in that process, you know. There have been times when the reaction has been spoken out loud and then we just need to clean up that mess later.
Well, you know, Sonia, Dickie and I have worked with what I have called conscious parenting or parenting consciously. And you bring out an interesting point that we have worked with in that method, which is that a lot, at least when I was growing up, people assumed that parents were doing all the teaching. And that, yeah, and that really our children are our profound teachers. And if you can keep them connected, as you're talking about, with their soul, they can just do it directly. Another way that they teach is by responding to how we operate, to reacting to us, so that issues develop, and then we then we know to work on them. But this method of profound parenting is actually cutting that process off at the pass. Is that it's what it sounds like to me?
Yeah, absolutely. And it will, what you described, though, when that happens, that's when we know that there's something that we still need to work on within ourselves.
Yes.
So literally, when something happens and an issue arises, that's your feedback mechanism that the parents have something to work on that they still need to clear before they can create a clear path for themselves and for their child and for that family relationship. So, yeah, absolutely.
So I was thinking about that in terms of my 7-year-old granddaughter, the daughter of my son that I was discussing earlier. As you know, because I've talked with you about this, she had some difficulty in her second grade year. She protested loudly. She refused to do her work. She at one time messed up the classroom. She had a very difficult time. And even with parenting approaches such as I've been able to develop, the best I could do is go to her class and her school, talk with her parents. My son asked me to come and help. And I saw that she was having difficulty because she has power and strength, and she was really protesting, being manipulated, being, being bossed around. She just didn't like it at all. It wasn't right for her. She didn't, for example, she really disliked the fact that she did all this crazy homework and brought it in, and her teacher looked it over briefly, checked it off in his book, and then put her homework on the recycle pile. He didn't treat it with any respect.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's not unusual. I don't mean to point out that he was doing something wrong, but it certainly didn't work for her. How would you go about using profound parenting to help a child in a position like that?
Well, I think you're right in going in to actually go into the environment and see what's going on, because children don't protest for no reason. It'll either be something that's going on at home or something that's going on at school or kindergarten, preschool, you know, whatever stage they're at. Here in America, we have a lovely lady that's looking after Ollie during the day, and she does a beautiful job, but still sometimes, you know, Ollie will have a protest, and the first thing we need to do is have a look and actually see what's going on. Now, of course, using universal intelligence, you can do that without actually physically going there. So what we do is we actually tune into the child and have a talk to the child's higher self, like you're talking to a person, but going through that all-knowing mind, and just find out what is the complaint and what is the best way to handle that complaint that's in that child's highest good. It literally is as simple as having a conversation with the child on an energetic level. And it's really incredible, because you're dealing with that child's higher self, you're able to get a solution that will be in that child's highest good. Now, if a solution is in one person's highest good, it is also automatically, by universal law, in the highest good of everyone surrounding that person. So you know that if you're following the advice given by the higher self of a person, of a child, then no one around that child is going to suffer for it. So, for example, when Ollie was very small and he wasn't sleeping through the night, and I needed to check in to see what was stopping his sleeping habit from forming, and the solution presented was something that worked for Ollie but also worked for me. It didn't have me getting up, every 2 hours at night time and running myself ragged either. So, yeah, you'll always come up with the perfect solution. And then the only tricky part I find in the world the way it currently is, that sometimes it may need to be delicately communicated to a parent or a teacher or a nanny or a kindergarten teacher.
Yes, that was difficult, and they did slowly work it out, and we all did agree that it was a problem with her personal power. So we looked for ways to empower her though I think the best solution would have been to homeschool her for a while, and they were not able to do that. So thank you, Sonia. That's really great. So you could then, let's say a person has a teenager who's going through difficulties, or a child who develops an illness, or let's say a smart child that you want to make the best educational choices for. When you know about universal intelligence, you can just access it, like you're saying, and have an energetic or an energy, a talk on an energy level with that child and find out what they need, right?
Yeah, absolutely. That's the beauty of this process, is that it absolutely works every time. It works in any situation, no matter how difficult it seems. It's quick, and it's just so easy, and the solutions that come forth are so profound. They're far beyond what we could achieve ourselves with our rational thinking mind. You know, they say that we use, you know, 3 to 5% of our brain, or some people say 10% of our brain. You know, when you're using your whole brain, you're syncing both hemispheres of the brain to access universal intelligence. The information that comes through is so profound, so accurate, and so free-flowing and easy. That solutions can be found really quickly. So things like where I really find this comes to the fore when I'm working with clients is especially with things like teenagers who, you know, have such an emotional minefield to get through at that age, with all the hormones on top of, layered on top of everything else. I kind of know a little bit what that's like with the hormones just post giving birth, or sort of dropping off, you know. Being able to manage that process through utilizing universal intelligence to talk to them at the soul level and recognizing them for all that they are is absolutely huge. You can get through anything that way, and you can turn disgruntled teenagers, and we've even worked with teenagers that have been, you know, driven to drugs and succumbed to peer pressure from that perspective, and, you know, sorting them out with no problem at all by having them be recognized for all that they are. And obviously, as well, you mentioned sick children. You know, that's a huge thing for using this work, is we have a whole division, I suppose, of people that are focused on the human body and on health. And children are so easy to heal compared to adults, because they've only been carrying the thoughts that create the illness for such a short period of time, that we've had some great success healing, you know, illnesses that have been termed terminal, without any problems at all. It's amazing what the body and the mind is actually capable of that we would never realize, which is why I love using the analogy of, you know, just because we can't fly doesn't mean our child can't. Because I am fully expecting one of these days Ollie's going to do the Superman jump and he will actually fly. Because I've really come to learn that what we can conceive of is actually possible. We just might not know how. And that's been proven to me time and time again with things like healing the body. So, yes, it will be interesting to see what happens. Hopefully we won't watch it flat on the pavement.
I think we've seen that already in the short time that Millie's been here, in that she doesn't cry, as you put it. And honestly, we expect that, oh, babies are going to cry. But that isn't the case with Millie. And I think if you were to speak to that a little bit, it would really bring through the energy that's different. Why is she not crying?
Yeah, well, that's a really interesting question, because I actually was fully expecting her to. Ollie had a traumatic experience near the beginning of his life when he was just a few days old. And so he was a very distraught child. So it took us a good 3 months to clear a three-week experience for him. So he cried a lot, and we couldn't put him down at all for 9 months. Now, so despite her having such a beautiful journey to this earth, I just hadn't really consciously thought that she wouldn't cry. So despite my expectations, she's not crying. So when Millie was born, she was born so quickly that she was born here at home before anyone could arrive to help. The midwife hadn't arrived, and she had advised us to call 911 because Millie was 6 weeks premature. And so by the time she was born completely in, still encased in the sac, which we had to open for her so that she could breathe fresh air. And it was probably a good 5 minutes before the ambulance and the paramedics and the fire department, and apparently there was two fire trucks and an ambulance downstairs that I was oblivious to. They all came storming in and they wanted to take her away. I said, no, I'm holding my baby. She's okay. She's breathing. And so I was just really mindful to remain calm. And so her journey was so smooth. You know, she came into my hands, had a quick cuddle with Daddy, and then came back to me. The placenta stayed attached for a good while. I'm not sure. Time kind of flew by. I'm not sure how long it remained attached for, but she was attached to me both physically and still the way she was in the womb for quite some time. And then despite us having to go in the ambulance, in the noisy ambulance and to the hospital and having people sort of check her over to satisfy themselves that a baby so early could be just breathing just fine and have normal brain function at that age, they took sort of 18 hours to satisfy themselves of that, but I stayed, or Daniel or I stayed by her side and holding her every step of the way. So she really had no trauma at birth. And since then, because we're so tuned into her, there's no need for her ever to cry for something. It's not triggered by any negative experience. And when she's hungry, we know about it because she communicates with us before she even wakes up. So I get a very strong sense within my body. It's like, oh, Millie's about to be hungry. So I start to prepare the feeding station, so to say. I wait for her eyes to stop twitching and then I pick her up so that by the time she wakes up and she actually experiences the hunger, she's already with me and I'm ready to feed her. Same goes for diaper changing. So I'm so connected with her that she doesn't actually need to want for anything before it has a chance to arrive. And that's, I think, why, you know, children cry to make you aware that they need something.
It's their only way to communicate if they don't have this other way. Now, I want to make sure, while you're on the show, Sonia, you and Daniel are here in the United States from Australia in order to share all the learning that you have, the ability to access this universal intelligence, to do the things you've been talking about today, not only with children, but with yourself as well. But I want you to give our listeners information about the fact you're going to be doing some presentations in different areas where people can experience this process for themselves, and we're also looking to August, I think, to possibly have classes available for people to learn to help their children connect with their own intuition. So tell us what you have and how people can find out more about these.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, look, it's absolutely our life's mission to bring this to as many people as we can. As you said at the beginning, it's my sole purpose to bring this to 5 billion people in this lifetime, which sounds absolutely crazy and unachievable, but where there's a higher self, there's a way. So we're just doing it a few people at a time at this stage and writing books. But look, we are absolutely here to teach. So we've got courses coming up in Los Angeles, in Palm Springs, in San Francisco, and in San Diego. You can find all the course dates, and your listeners can find all the course dates online at accessinguiforuniversalintelligence.com, or if it's easier to remember, allknowingdiary.com. That's Daniel's book, The All-Knowing Diary. So allknowingdiary.com. They both have all the course dates on there. And so we're teaching people, A, how to connect in with their higher self so they can receive these messages like I've been talking about, to connect in with their body, and also to remove the limiting beliefs that hold them back in whatever area of life. So coming along to that one-day course actually gives you all those abilities to be able to remove what's holding you back and to be able to connect to that which will propel you forward in all areas of life. We then will also teach courses that We'll focus specifically on birthing or parenting. Also, we run some other courses for athletes and that kind of thing and for businesses. And we will be having our first kids course in Palm Springs and then also in San Francisco, where we teach both kids from the ages of 6 to 12 and then teenagers from, you know, 12 to 17, 18, although by 16, 17, 18, people can participate in the adults course also, to actually connect back with their own intuition. And, you know, kids learn so quickly that it's just a 2.5-hour course for them. They learn much faster than adults, and they get through their beliefs much more quickly. So it's a really easy step for kids to learn, and I think that's such a gift. And parents can sit in on that also, so that they know what their kids have experienced and they can nurture that in the home. And we would strongly recommend that teachers come along to that also, so that, you know, they can start to learn how to nurture the kids in their class and how to remove the beliefs that might be holding back the kids in their class from learning difficulties or from being able to concentrate, that kind of thing. Now, if people can't make it to these live courses, we also run courses online as well. And again, on accessingui.com or allknowingdiary.com, if you click on workshops, that will take you straight through to a ticket section where on the left-hand side you can see the live courses, and on the right-hand side we have our online offerings, which is actually really great because it's all split up into individual modules where you can just learn what you might be interested in. So if you just want to learn about the body, or you just want to learn about parenting, or you just want to learn about business, then you can just do those little modules individually by choosing them from the right-hand side. And they're starting tomorrow, actually, if tomorrow is Friday. We'll be doing the Limiting Beliefs Day, and then they are also recorded so people can review them over time and in their own time whenever they're ready. So, yeah, we have mentors such as yourself, Eileen, who are then able to, and Jakey, who are then able to support people on their path. So as people take their first, sometimes shaky steps toward becoming all-knowing and accessing their inner wisdom with power, we have these beautiful mentors that help people on that path and consolidate their learning from the courses so that they can really implement that in their everyday life and learn how to make it automatic so you're not having to think about it, so that it just comes. So for me, for example, to have a chat with Ollie subconsciously is no more effort than actually talking to him out loud, and that's what we want for people, that they're able to do this without it being any effort whatsoever and to really contribute into people's lives like that.
Mm. You know, thank you for that. You said one thing there that I'd really like to point out, because Dakey and I, as you have indicated here, we both took your mentoring training and we're still working with those concepts and have more to do. And the thing that really stood out to us is the transparency with which you and Daniel work. And what you said is, we're going to do a course for kids, and of course parents can come sit in and see what we're doing. And I want to really emphasize that transparency. I think that's part of being in tune with universal intelligence, is you can't hide when you're dealing with universal intelligence. You can't lie. You can't cover up. And so that's a really joyful part about this, I think. And I really want to emphasize that.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I think it's really important as well that people have a full awareness of what's transpiring. It's such a huge leap, and a leap of faith for some people. So we just try to pave the way for people to take that path with ease and without any trepidation.
Right. You know, last week I hosted Dr. Eric Pearl, who wrote a book called The Reconnection, and he is working with a similar orientation, which makes two people so far that I, through this program, have come across. Now, what he was saying is that there is a new vibratory level available to humans that hasn't been available to us for a long time. And that's what we're working with, and that's what we need to get to know. Would you agree or disagree with that?
Look, I would 100% agree. I've noticed just in the last, so I've been doing this now for 7 years, and the speed at which people are able to learn these processes now compared to even 3 years ago. I mean, people always said that 2012 was a quickening, and I would have to say, without wanting to use a negative connotation, but it has put the energetic realm on steroids. I mean, people are now learning in 2.5 hours what was taking 5 days to teach only 3 years ago. So, and so on the one hand, yes, Daniel and I have grown in our methodology and our ability to teach and our vibrational frequency that we bring to the room. But the level of awareness that is available now and that vibrational frequency of the people coming to learn, the energy is so supportive now that people can learn quickly and integrate this into their lives quickly, which is just an absolute blessing.
I think the one thing that I've heard you say that I would highlight today, Sonia, speaks to that very thing, which is when you were addressing the issue of correction or adjusting to the world for children, you said if something is in the highest good for one, then the law is that it's also in the highest good for all. And I think that one of the profound things about profound parenting as a whole is that we have a cluelessness about how to create a world that works for everyone. And yet the opportunity to do that is here in this technology, because we just need to tune into what's good for one from the highest level, and the transformation begins to ripple through the whole. That's the vision I have, and it's why I so appreciate what you and Daniel are bringing to us at this individual level.
That is really profound, Dakey. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Dakey, for highlighting that. It's something that's so important, that if we all just act in our own highest good, not in what we think might work, but really in our highest good, guided by our higher selves, this world will be a very different, profoundly different place very quickly.
It's really soon.
The world peace for sure.
Really soon.
Well, and when we're parents, we want to raise our children so they are successful in the world. This is so, I mean, talk about looking for the grain of truth that will do that and get in the beach. I mean, We will not only create success for children, but for the world they live in as well. It's just a beautiful thing.
You know, I hate to cut into this, but I have to end this show.
What a shame.
We will have to meet like this again. This is just exciting to talk with you about, Sonia. And I want everyone's children to have the advantages that your two have. And I also want to point out to people that all babies are born connected to universal intelligence, so it's not that hard to get back to it again. It can't be. Yeah. I want to remind people they can find you at accessingui.com and also allknowingdiary.com. And your book is called Natural Pain-Free Birth. And gosh almighty, what can be said after an hour like this with you, Sonia? This is just mind-boggling, incredible, fantastic gift that you are giving all of us. And I really appreciate it. And I most especially appreciate you sharing all of this on Full Power Living today. And please thank Millie for lending you to us for this hour, too.
Oh, I will. And thank you so much for the opportunity to speak with yourself and Dakey and your listeners. I really enjoyed this. This has been wonderful.
Great. All right. We'll see you later. Please join us live. All right. Bye. Every Thursday at 9 a.m. Pacific time, which is noon Eastern. And remember that next week we'll talk with David Bedrick, who's author of Talking Back to Dr. Phil. We're going to talk about loving psychology instead of shame-based psychology. Paul Johnston at Fresh Talk Media is our producer. Paul, we are just this month starting our 10th year on Full Power Living, and you have been an integral part of most of those years. So I want to thank you for being our producer. That's Fresh Talk Media. For now, I'm Eileen Dillon, and Dakey Fox is life coach here. And we're reminding you to pay attention not to what you want to overcome, but to what you want to become. And after today, just imagine what you can become.
You're listening to Full Power Living with Eileen Dillon.